Let's talk Grand Rapids Women's Health, all about women, a segment that, well, men are involved as well. And we want to certainly touch on a topic that basically is in the news more and more, and probably is a good thing, talking about the mental health of people in the U.S., specifically how this affects women. And I'll lead with the question of, did you know that one in five people, 20%, here in the U.S., and over 40 million American adults has some mental illness? I turn to you on behalf of Grand Rapids Women's Health. How many babies have you delivered this month?
Oh, my gosh. Like 15. Really? There's a lot of babies.
A lot of babies.
Coming.
Robins or Shelleys?
I know Robins or Shelleys.
You'll give me a text when that happens,
I will,
won't you?
For sure. Thanks. Like at 3 a.m. when I'm doing it, I'm sure you'll appreciate that.
I'll probably be up. Hey, what's going on in this topic?
Yeah, mental health is very important and something that touches everyone's life, whether you have been affected by it or are being affected by it, or somebody you know or love is affected by it. It has really profound effects on a quality of life and of families and of, you know, workmates and moms and dads. And so it's really important that we're aware. And the biggest thing that I was amazed at with the statistic, 20% in the U.S., there was a survey that showed that 3.89% of adults report serious thoughts of suicide. That's terrifying. I mean, that's a huge percentage of our population. And suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in our country. So we need to raise awareness, access to health care, and understanding about this bad disease.
And we know that usually suicide is not covered in news stories. So hence the reason, most likely, like, I never, you know, you hear about car accidents, but you don't report the suicide. So that might be a... mental disorders, what are we talking about, Dr. Hubbard?
So it's a really broad area, you know, so we have mental health disorders that can be divided into several categories. Anxiety, which includes generalized anxiety or panic disorder, but also obsessive compulsive disorder, where people have intrusive thoughts or repetitive things that they need to do just in order to feel settled or able to control their environment. Post-traumatic stress disorder falls in here, and social phobias. Then there's ADD and ADHD, which has an incredibly high rate, in particular being identified in our kids. But my daughter didn't really kind of figure that all out until she was in college. So technically an adult that, okay, maybe some of her depression and anxiety that she struggled with was stemming from the ADD that wasn't treated, and now she's doing great being attentive to that and treating that while she's in college. Then there's eating disorders, which includes a whole wide range of things, anorexia, bulimia, binge eating, mood disorders like bipolar or major depression, minor depression, and then personality disorders. So this is a whole different category, but antisocial, avoidant, borderline personality disorders. And then I wanted to throw in there substance abuse, because there's such a huge connection between mental health disorders. 50% of people with a substance or alcohol problem have a co-occurring mental illness. And which comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know, that's difficult to know. But 8.66% of the population reports having a significant substance or alcohol problem. And that's very real, too.
So the numbers are there. How do men and women differ when it comes to reported mental disorders?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in particular, women do report a higher rate of depression and anxiety, and some of that stems from just physiologic differences, I think. But women show a higher rate of hormone-mediated mood problems, which is obvious, right? Because our hormones fluctuate a little bit more than men's do because we cycle. And so there's people with PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorders, where like that week or two before their period, they have severe changes in mood, and that's because of hormone fluctuations, or postpartum depression, or perimenopause. I've had women come in at age 50 saying, I don't know what has happened to me, but I've lost my mind, and I think I'm going crazy. And I'm like, oh, you just need some estrogen. And then they come back and say, wow, that was amazing. I can't believe that was all it takes, you know. So that's one of the big differences between men and women.
And Hanson, we'll talk about this, I'm sure, either in prevention or treatment, but early intervention, key.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's so many people that don't either reach out for care or have access to care. And I think we've come a long way, even in the 20 years that I've been in practice, of the stigma. You know, so many people didn't want to share with family or friends that they were suffering from depression or anxiety or some kind of a mood disorder, because there was just this giant stigma, and a lot of people felt like, oh, come on, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and, you know, get out of bed and think differently. Well, you can't control it. It's organic. There's chemical changes in your brain that make you process information or mood differently. And so it's very real. And I think we've done a really great job of educating community and family members about the support that people need. But then increasing access for everybody to care is really, really important and a big part of what I hope will be in whatever, healthcare yes. reform that happens.
Yes. What about cultural reasons?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So, we talk a little bit about gender roles, and so I'm speaking particularly culturally about women and men, and there's a lot with women who have historically been the subordinate gender, so they are placed in roles as the primary caregivers to children and elderly and their partners, and even though there's been a big shift in our culture with women having more powerful careers and more men choosing to stay at home to take care of the kids, there's a huge amount of stress placed on women, which can push towards depression and panic attacks. And then there's the effect where women, unfortunately, have been the object of sexualization, and that can be through the media or relationships, and that can cause problems with the healthy development of self-esteem and self-image among women, which can lead to a lot of shame, depression, anxiety, and stress. And then victimization. So violence and sexual abuse is huge. So 1 in 5 women reportedly is a victim of rape or attempted rape. And that can have huge lifelong implications in terms of how you feel about yourself and how safe you feel in the world and what your concept of yourself is. And so that's really, really big. And I see that in my patients who have a history of trauma, rape, abuse, really, really struggle with a lot of things physically and mentally after that. So it affects them for their lifetime.
Talking about mental health with Dr. Robin Hubbard, all About Women, our annual or monthly interview. Dr. Hubbard, statistics, not to get hung up on numbers, but women 2 times more likely than men to develop certain mental health conditions, and also likely, I think this is somewhat known, 2 to 3 times to attempt suicide, but men die more from it.
Yeah, so men are more likely to have a successful suicide attempt. They tend to choose things like a gun, whereas women tend to choose drug overdose or cutting or something like that. But women attempt suicide more often, and women have 2 times more likely than men to develop conditions. So you're right. And interestingly, just in the literature, we're just only now beginning researchers to tease apart these differences and try to understand them. I mean, we certainly understand that our hormone changes are different, but we don't really completely understand why that is different. So it's just really important to understand that it can affect both men and women, and it can be very prevalent, but women may have that. The other thing statistically is women may have more physical symptoms associated with the mental health issue, like fatigue, loss of appetite, stomach problems, headaches. And so sometimes they're being worked up for a physical problem and there's an underlying mental health problem that's associated.
Would there be a real life experience in your practice that perhaps you can relay about mental health issues that people might be able to relate to?
Yeah, I think so. One of the things that I've been really surprised at in the last 20 years is how much time I spend with my female patients on depression and anxiety. It's a big part of what I do in my practice, and I actually have found that I really enjoy that because I think sometimes I'm the only person that people will confide in or share in, and that is a really magical thing to help think that maybe I can help them to get treatment or feel better. And I think postpartum depression is probably one of the biggest. I've had people who, struggle with postpartum depression and kind of understand what it is and call me and say that they're struggling. But there was a woman who called me 9 months out, which you don't think when your baby's crawling that you're going to be struggling with something related to your birth. But it can affect you up to 2 years after your delivery. And she said, I don't enjoy my time with the baby. I don't want to go out and be with my friends. And I used to do that all the time. I don't feel good physically. I'm tired all the time. I just feel completely hopeless. And interestingly, she shared that she's like, I don't want to kill myself, but I have these crazy thoughts, like intrusive thoughts of what would happen if I just pulled and tread at that truck. And it was scary. And she actually was urged by a friend to come and talk to me, and we were able to get her help. But that's super alarming.
And just to tag on that, Dr. Hubbard, much falls under the umbrella of mental health disorders, but I trust the warning signs to share that need to ask for help would be the thoughts that might not go away.
Yeah, absolutely. So any kind of intrusive thoughts, things that are bothering you. So A lot of patients will seek help after they're told by somebody that they're worried. So their partner, their mom, their sister, their best friend will say, I really think you need to talk to your doctor, and that's amazing. And I challenge everybody out there, if you know somebody that you're worried about, say something. It may be something that makes all the difference to that person. And we feel intimidated. You know, I don't want to walk up to you, Shelley, and go, gosh, you just don't seem yourself lately. Is everything okay? I'm kind of worried about you. I think you might be struggling from depression, or I think that anxiety, you know, you're worried all the time, and I think that might be getting the best of you. But anybody who has, you know, any persistent sadness or feelings of hopelessness, I think the key words for me are like, are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you feeling hopeless? And have you had thoughts of hurting yourself? And that's a scary question. When I graduated from med school, I'm like, I'm going to ask somebody if they are having suicidal thoughts. Like, that's super intimidating. But what I find is people are so relieved and grateful that you asked, because they're thinking it and they're ashamed of it and they don't know what to do with it. And just to open that door to let them say, yes, I have had, and it scares me, and like help them with that is amazing. And don't be afraid to ask somebody if they have thoughts of harm. It's not going to put you in a bad situation. You can just help them get the care that they need.
And hence you would use your circles to follow up on and to refer to appropriate sources.
I would. And I think the challenge for the listening audience would be, if you are thinking, gosh, this kind of resonates with me, I think I am struggling with a mental health disorder, make an appointment today with your PCP or your OBGYN to talk about it. It's just that easy. And sometimes you feel so overwhelmed that just making that phone call is really difficult. But I challenge you, don't suffer in silence. Make an appointment today. And number two, if you have a friend or a loved one that you're concerned about, reach out to them and just be ready to listen. You don't have to fix the problem. Just having somebody to listen can make a huge difference. And then encourage them to make an appointment or offer to do it for them. You know, what I have found is if you lay it out and say, okay, and next Tuesday at 2 o'clock, I'm going to pick you up and we're going to go see your doctor. That makes it so much easier than I'm feeling overwhelmed and I have to make another phone call and I can't do it. And then the other thing, so in Grand Rapids, Network 180 is the resource where people that don't have insurance, are Medicare, Medicaid, can go to have access to mental health services like counseling. So not you can go to your doctor, definitely, but that's also a tremendous resource. You can just walk up and they can do screening and help you get hooked into care. And then not the least of which, of course, Pine Rest and Forest View do an amazing job. And they have emergency 24/7 resources to help if you are in crisis.
Before that, how do we carry on the conversation with you and yours?
So you can reach us at GrandRapidsWomensHealth.com or at 588-1200. And I have a plug. I am working with a group called Maternal Wellness. And this is a group of postpartum moms who have come together. And they have a free screening tonight of a movie on postpartum depression called When the Bow Breaks. It's at 7 o'clock at the Celebration in Rivertown. Free. And it's a really great movie. I'm going to be there, and we'll have a little panel afterwards. And I encourage you to attend if this is something that's touched your life or you are interested in learning more about.
When and where?
Rivertown Celebration Cinema, 7 o'clock tonight, When the Bow Breaks. It's free.
Thank you for that. Dr. Robin Hubbard will speak again in June. Thank you.
Thank you.